turn there. I'm just going to read one verse and sprint right away. Joel chapter 2, verse 14. Multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Let's pray. Father, we ask you now, Lord God, to meet with us today. I pray, oh God, the Holy Spirit would begin to work even now. Cleanse our hearts. Try us and know us. Bring to our mind our sins and our failures. I pray, oh God, cleanse us. Wash us afresh and anew in that precious blood of the Lamb. I pray, oh God, that there not be anything in our heart nor in our life that would hinder Thee from working in this assembly. I pray, Lord God, that you would move in a special way today. May the Holy Spirit meet the need in every heart and in every life. There are people who here who are fearful for their own health, people who are fearful for the health of loved ones, folks with children that are at risk, that are at dangerous points in their life. Lord, we could just go on and on about the things that we need help with. Lord, we find ourselves totally insufficient, incapable. Lord, we cast ourselves upon Thee and ask for Thy mercy and Thy grace. We pray that you would meet the need through the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, it's the means that you've ordained. And I pray, oh God, that you use it today. Rearrange it. Reshape it. Restate it, Lord. Override everything that comes forth from our mouth and off of our tongue. Change it in a way that would be beneficial and helpful to the hearer. We sure would thank you for that. Lord, we do thank you for all the good things you've sent our way, our health, our strength, our liberty, our freedom, the answer to prayers that you send our way. Lord, we don't want to be unmindful of your mercy and your grace and your long-suffering and your faithfulness to us. Lord, we pray for our nation this morning. Oh God, you know the burden that it is on our heart. You know the fear that we harbor, that somehow this radical communist Muslim will win another term and America will perish as we've known it. I pray, oh God, have mercy upon this nation and upon this people. Lord, we trust Thee to do what's right and best. And we confess our weakness and our doubt and our fearfulness. And I pray, oh God, that you might overrule and override and bless this great nation. My Father, we'll be careful to lift up our voice in the congregation and give Thee praise and honor and glory for your mercy and your kindness to us. Pray now, oh God, for all the prayer requests we have this morning, Lord. I can't remember them all off the top of my head. But nothing and nobody escapes Thee. You know where they're at. You know where they're at geographically. You know where they're at spiritually. You know where they're at physically. And I pray, oh God, bless them. Touch them. Change their lives. Do something for them that would make them lift up their voice. Give honor and praise to Thee. We sure would thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll bring you a little message this morning. A nice, sweet little message. More like a little homily than a Independent Baptist kind of a thing. I really believe that it's the message we need today. I was thinking back, and I remember I preached a message not too long ago that had somewhat the same theme to it, but not the same. But I've just had it on my mind, and the Lord helping us, want to deliver our heart this morning. And we pray and trust that God will use it for good and for His glory. I'll bring you a little message this morning entitled, Don't be stupid. Being stupid seems to be a national epidemic in America. I've never seen so many people do so many things that by the preponderance of the population would have to be classified stupid. And it's an amazing thing, because when you behold stupid, if you take a sieve and filter it out from all else that goes on, stupid is just absolutely rampant. But it is a non-discriminating disease. College-educated people with brilliant minds do stupid things. People with no education and no brain at all do stupid things. Stupid is not confined to any race. Stupid is not confined to either gender, either one of the three. Somebody say amen. Stupid can be found almost anywhere at any time. Just go to any town, any village, any store, any public gathering. Listen for a little while, watch for a little while, and I guarantee you will hear or see something stupid. Amen? Now, stupid has some unique qualities that are they're kind of baffling. They're kind of mysterious. Because I never see myself doing anything stupid. And you never see yourself doing anything stupid. Yet a lot of stupid gets done. It's like it was done by Casper the Friendly Ghost. You ask anybody, you talk to anybody, you get in a conversation, and stupid is always something done by somebody else. Amen? But I'm afraid if the truth were known, which in our day and age is not necessarily a requisite for anything, the truth is that at some point or another, all of us have been stupid. I hate to admit that because I confess to you, I think of myself as a pretty smart fella. Well, probably had not picked up on that. I try to be thoughtful, insightful, analytical. Yet, I look back over my life and I can see some horrendous boo-boos down through there. I am way smarter than some of the things I have done. And I bet you've got the same problem, don't you? I mean, back in retrospect, when you take that second look, you think to yourself, what was I thinking? I'm not that stupid. But you did that stupid thing. Amen? So I want to bring you a little message this morning entitled, Don't Be Stupid. Stupid is a choice. Let me read you a couple of definitions. This is from the Noah Webster, 1828, semi-inspired dictionary of the American language. Choice. The act of selecting or separating from two or more things that which is preferred, or the determination of the mind in preferring one thing to another. Now let's talk about the definition for a minute, because it's necessary to understand what choice is, or making a choice is. It's the act of separating or selecting from two or more options. If there's only one possibility, there is no choice. Got it? You gotta have more than one to have choices, or they say these days, I've got options. And choice is the selecting, the act of selecting. That's you looking at a thing and your mind preferring and setting apart from all others the one thing that your mind prefers. That is, your choice is always predicated on the one thing that you like better than all the other options. Which means that an act of choice is also a revelation of your thought life, your thought processes. Number two, decision. To decide implies the bringing to an end of vacillation, doubt, dispute, etc., by making one's mind up as to an action, a course, or a judgment. Decision is after I look at all the choices and I see which one my mind prefers, I act on that, and that's my course of action. That's my decision. So I have choices first, then I decide which choice. Choice and decision are linked together. They're almost inseparable. Not quite. I mean, you can get down and argue the nitty-gritties of the thing, but essentially, in practical outworking, we look at a thing, we see the options, we see which one we like, and then we decide, that's the one for me. That's what I'm going to do. Now, the problem with these two words is, one, it means that you had to look, you had to be aware. And then, you had to come to a realization of which one meant the most to you or was the most appealing to you, and that's the one you decided on. So decision and choice are a revelation of the likes and dislikes, the character and the intent of your heart. That is, you can tell a lot about people by how they decide things and what they choose to do. Kind of an ugly position, isn't it? It would be the world would be so much friendlier if we could hide from the world our thought life, that is, what we like and what we decide to do. A person's life, the things they do in life, the decisions they make, are a great revelation about the individual. Now, you're not going to live without choices. And you are not going to live without making decisions. So it is incumbent upon all of us, when it becomes necessary, to look at our options, our choices, to be careful in the decisions we make. Let's don't be stupid. Say, why? Well, because actions have consequences and you have to live with the decisions you make. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could erase them? I remember when my grandkids lived in front of us and they were growing up and we were trying to spoil them as much as we could. They would get out there and do things. And sometimes it's things they ought not do. And I'd tell them, as you know, actions have consequences. Well, they'd do it anyway. And it'd be a mess. And they'd say, well, do-overs, do-overs. That means they didn't like the first result, so they wanted to erase it, make it null and void, and get a second shot at it. And the second shot was going to count, and the first shot wasn't. Would it not be wonderful if life worked that way? But it doesn't. So, let me give you seven or eight or nine things here that we need to think about so that we're not stupid. Does it make you mad when somebody implies or says outright that you're stupid? Makes me mad. Because I know I'm not stupid. Yet I couldn't argue with them if they said, well, you did so-and-so and that was stupid. And they'd be right. Doesn't mean everything about me is stupid, but that was, and it shouldn't have been. All right, let's get started. Here are some choices that we're going to have to make at some point in life, and the decision we make about it will impact or affect the rest of our lives. Number one, the Bible said in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 14, cast thy lot in among us. That's it. Throw your lot, put your life in with ours. Let's all go the same direction. Let's all do the same thing. This is a choice about companions or friends. Cast thy lot in with us. Be part of our group. Everywhere you go in life, you will notice that people find certain groups to hang with. Certain folks that do things or wear things or go places that they like. Now, they didn't have to. There's choices. You can go or not go. But they made a decision to go. Let's not be stupid in the people that we cast our lot in with. Let's not be stupid about the people we have for friends. Dr. Jerry Brown said, you are now or you soon will be what your friends are. You're not going to rise much above the pack that you hang out with. They say, and it's pretty demonstrable, that water seeks its own level. Amen? You take a YouTube or whatever it is and put water in this side, and the water will come up on that side and it will exactly match on both sides. Amen. So if you throw in with a crowd that's not interested in education, you probably won't get one. You throw in with a crowd who whole lifestyle and they're consumed with fun and partying, that's probably all you'll get accomplished in life. You've got to be careful about who you choose to throw your lot in with. Because you're going to go where they go, do what they do in large measure. You say, well, I've got this group and they do so and so and I don't do that. That may be true on some things. But in total, in mass, in general, you'll do what your friends do. Amen. If you want to get a good education, what you need to do is get with some folks who are studious. Amen. If you don't want to waste your life, your youth, your middle years, you better get in with some folks who are accomplishing something. You get in with the loafers and the scallywags and the deadbeats and the party. You're going to end up one of these days down here having accomplished nothing. You say, well, what happened? You threw in your lot with the wrong crowd. You were stupid. You knew they weren't going anywhere. You knew they weren't accomplishing anything. You knew they weren't on the right track. But you looked at it and your mind liked what they were doing and you decided to go that way. You got nobody to blame for that wasted years except self. Be careful. Don't be stupid about who your friends are. So why do you hang out with them? I dislike them. Well, what are they doing? Oh, we just hang out. Can you brag about where you go? Can you brag about what you do? Can you tell the preacher? Can you tell mom and dad where you go and what you do and how you spend your time? If not, you're hanging with the wrong crowd. Somebody say amen. Amen, preacher. Amen. Not only that, don't be stupid about your friends. Don't be stupid in your obedience to God. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 4, the Bible said, the devil talking to Eve said, ye shall not surely die. And when the woman saw that it was pleasant to eye, good food, not desire to make one wise, she ate. With malice aforethought, she made a decision to disobey God Almighty. She didn't stumble into it. People say, oh, I didn't know what I was getting into. I didn't know where it was going to lead. I didn't know how it was going to turn out. You know that's true about one time out of every 10 million. The rest of the time you knew darn well. You looked at the options. Your mind preferred one above another, and you decided to go with what your mind liked. Over what was right, over what was wrong, over common sense, over the objection of friends or parents or preacher or whoever, and you just did it anyway. That's stupid. Stupid. Let's don't be stupid. It's wise to obey God. And it is stupid to disobey God. You know what happened because Eve disobeyed God one time? Just once. Just once. Just once. This was not repetitive. She didn't have to do it over and over and it become a lifestyle before she was guilty of it. Only had to do it one time. Did you notice the immediate impact it had on those around her? She ate. She said, "Oh, that's good. Here, try that." Ain't that the way life works? What we do, how we behave, impacts and affects all those around us. No man is an island unto himself. When you choose to disobey God, it will impact those that you know, the ones you love, the ones that care about you. Don't be stupid about obeying or disobeying God Almighty. Number three, don't be stupid about the folks you have in your life as advisors or counselors. In 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 8, there's a passage there that everybody ought to read. You ought to take that thing and highlight it. It's about a young man who is fixing to be king. And his father's counselors come and say, "Now, you know, your daddy did this, this, and this," and it caused everybody to hate him and rebel against him. Just lighten the load a little bit. Just take it easy on the folks, and they will love thee and serve thee all the days of your life. So he listened to the old men. Then he went to the young men that he was raised with. And they said, "No, man, don't do that. If your father's hand, if his thing was like a finger, then yours ought to be like an arm. If he taxed them $10, you ought to tax them $100. You be 10 times as bad, 10 times as hard, 10 times as demanding as your father." You know what that young fellow did? Now he has a choice. He's not compelled to do it just one way. He can obey and listen to the counsel of the wise men of the kingdom, or he can listen to these young fools that don't know what they're doing. It said, and he consulted with the young men that were grown up with him. I'm going to tell you something. Young people that listen to other young people over the advice of moms and dads and preachers and close friends and grandmas and grandpas and listen to the wisdom and the insight of their peers, you're a fool. You're a fool. They don't know anything. They're not any smarter than you are. They've not been down the road any further than you've been. What in heaven's name would make you think they know something about life that you don't know? And so you discard all the wisdom of the ancients. The Bible said wisdom is found with the hoar head, with the white hair. Listen to the guy that's been down the road. You know what young people do? Say, "Well, when you was young, you made this mistake." And that may be true. But does it prove that you're wise because you want to make the same mistake? What are you, stupid? Don't be stupid. Be careful who you listen to. And when you got important decisions, when you're talking about manner of life or lifestyle and life-affecting decisions, listen to somebody that's been down the road, somebody that's made a mistake or two, somebody that's had to learn a lesson or two the hard way, and be smart and don't have to learn it the hard way. I used to have an aunt, God rest her soul. And every time a discussion would come up, she'd say, "Well, I've always had to learn everything the hard way. Why? I'll tell you why. Because she was hard-headed. She was just plain stupid. Amen? I mean, if you know the outcome, if you've seen it demonstrated 100 times, he said, well, I'm going to have to learn this the hard way. You ain't going to learn nothing. Anybody that stupid, I don't think you can learn. Somebody say amen. Don't be stupid. Listen to people that know something. Listen to people who have your best interest at heart. I never can figure out why in the world church members will go off and talk to some unsaved drunk, some unsaved relative, some marriage counselor, some lawyer, some psychologist, and never talk to the preacher about it and get spiritual advice. I've got your interest more at heart than any of those people do. Well, I just couldn't talk to my preacher about it. You're an idiot. That's stupid. I get paid to listen to that stuff. And I'm going to tell you something. I've talked to a lot of lawyers and a lot of shrinks and a lot of psychologists. And I got more wisdom in that little finger out of that Bible than I got out of 8 years of school. And I guarantee you, they don't care about you like I care about you. Number four. Don't be just stupid about destroying your body. My brother was up yesterday. I'm 67. He's 65. I look 50. He looks 90. His hair is gray. He's almost bald. His face is wrinkled. I mean, just awful. He can't walk from one end of the house to the other without huffing and puffing. He's got bad, I mean really bad emphysema. Still sneaking around smoking. He said, I'm down. He said, a pack will last me 3 days. Why don't you smoke 3 packs a day? It can mess you in. Ain't gonna, I mean, what's the deal? The life of dissipation. Between Pall Mall Reds and Jack Black, he about ruined himself. Can't walk, can't breathe. Looks like he's 100. So what has he done? He destroyed himself with the decisions and the choices that he made about what he did with his body. Man, good night. We hear all the time about it's your body, you know, and especially with women. We don't think you have the right to tell women what to do with their body. Okay, I'll give you that, okay? But God does. Amen? And God said, don't be a whore. Don't be promiscuous. Don't be loose. Don't be sleeping with every Tom, Dick, and Harry in town. Amen? And the Bible teaches that life begins at conception and that it's wrong to murder life. So don't have no abortion. You say, well, it's just an unwanted consequence. An unintended consequence to a fleeting moment of pleasure. Yeah, but you knew that going in, son. Amen. Amen. It didn't sneak up on you. You knew exactly what you were doing. And you enjoyed doing it, and you probably did it more than once, and now you've been caught, and there's a consequence, and folks don't want to pay. And they say, well, I have the right to do with my body. No, you don't. Especially if you're saved. That Bible said, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are the Lord's. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. You don't have the right to dishonor your body. You don't have the right to get out here and be a drunk. You don't have a right to get out here and smoke dope. You don't have a right to get out here and suck cigarettes and kill yourself. What you're destroying doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. Say, well, it's not in the Bible. Yes, it is. Not smoking is in the Bible. Not drinking is in the Bible. Not taking dope is in the Bible. Say, how? The Bible said, if you dishonor the temple, God will destroy the temple. You know what to do? Folks will go out and abuse themselves. All that substance abuse. And then when they get their comeuppance and they can't breathe and their liver's shot and their mind's wore out, then they start whining and crying about how bad things are. It's really hard to have pity on them. It's really hard to feel sorry for them sometimes. When they did it for 40 years, my mama, God rest her soul, and I love my mama, but sometimes she did some stupid stuff. She found out she had emphysema. She's smoking 2 packs of Pall Mall Reds a day. I said, Mama, you need to quit smoking. Them things are killing you. Well, I quit smoking when I curl up my toes. She did. She did. She killed herself smoking them cigarettes. Got lung cancer. Turned into bone cancer. You should have seen her the last 2 or 3 years of her life. Had her on all that prednisone and stuff. She was about as big around as she was tall. Couldn't get out of her chair and go potty without help because she couldn't breathe. So what she did? She abused her body with substance. Don't destroy the body. The Bible said in Isaiah 56:12, we will fill ourselves with strong drink. Now the smart thing to do is don't get around that crowd that drinks. Don't get around that crowd smoking them left-handed cigarettes, them marijuanas. Don't get around that crowd taking all them black beauties and them yellow pills and all that other stuff. You say, well, they're all my friends and they're just having... No, they're destroying their lives. They're being stupid. And they want you to be stupid with them. Don't be stupid. Don't give yourself over. Don't be stupid about carnal pleasure. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 18, the Bible said, come, let us take our fill of love till the morning. Carnal pleasure. Pleasure of the flesh. Sexual pleasure. Illicit. Sex. Immoral sex. Sex is not immoral. Sex is not illicit. Sex is good. All you need is a lawful wife and a lawful husband. Amen? Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed thereof undefiled. But adulterers and whoremongers God will judge. Now, it amazes me that we come to church, and it's the only place in the universe you can't talk about sex. You pipe it into the living room on the television set 24/7. Every magazine, every billboard, every advertisement, everywhere you go, everything you do is built. You ever seen any of those advertisements for that place down here in the Caribbean or Bahamas, wherever it's at? What's it name? Sandal. You ever see those advertisements? What's the two most prevalent items in all those advertisements? Men looking for good-looking women and everybody drinking. That's all that's in them. Amen? They are promoting drinking, abusing your body, and immorality. It's all about getting drunk and getting laid. It's wicked as hell. But we made it look like it's the most charming, the most alluring, the most satisfying, the most intriguing, the most desirable thing in the world. Never mind what it does to your body. Never mind what it does to your conscience. Just do it because everybody else is. I'm here to tell you, bless God, everybody else ain't. I know a lot of good saved folk that ain't. Say, well, they're just not having any fun. I'm having a pretty good time. Remember, I'm having a good time now. This is what I do for fun. Come, let us take our fill. I like to watch Fox News. Sometimes I get under conviction about it. Because Fox News, if they took all the hot babes off, they lose half their audience. Amen? They got to sit out there in them chairs with their legs crossed and their skirts up in the middle of their thigh. They all got to wear them form-fitting blouses that accentuate how God has blessed them. I'm assuming it's a blessing. Might not be. They're eye candy. Amen? It's not necessary. How come they can't have them ladies come out there dressed like a lady? Looking godly. Looking prim and proper. What's so hard about that? What's so terrible about that? Why would that be such a national tragedy? How come you got to come out looking like you just left, Brother Carroll, what's the name of that street up in Charlotte where the hookers hang out? I'm just messing with you, bro.
Trade Street.
Why they got to look like trash? Wouldn't it be refreshing to see some of those ladies come out there and look elegant? To look sophisticated and refined? To look dignified? To be ladylike in the extreme and have all the men scraping and bowing and pulling chairs out and holding doors? Somebody told me one time women get treated like they dress. But our whole society is given over to carnal pleasure. Don't be stupid. It defiles the body. It defiles the conscience. And sooner or later, it'll give you something you ain't ever going to get rid of. You know, I remember reading an article, it's probably been 8 or 10 years ago, that in the 1950s, there were 3 primary sexually transmitted diseases in the United States. Nonspecific urethritis, gonorrhea, and syphilis. In 2000, there are over 55 sexually transmitted diseases. The 2 hotbeds for STDs, college campuses, and old folks' homes. They think they're safe. And they're not. Don't be stupid about giving yourself over to carnal pleasure. Find yourself a husband. Find yourself a wife. Have a monogamous relationship and enjoy it till Jesus comes. But don't defile yourself. Don't fill your heart full of wondering and worrying. Not just about being caught, found out, but wondering and worrying what you got. Who you going to give it to? I'll tell you what, buddy. It's a dangerous world for a woman these days that's got a philandering husband. Amen. So, preacher, I don't think you ought to be so graphic. And I don't think, oh, shut up. You know why the world's in the mess it's in? Because preachers got so sweet and so nice and so sissified in the pulpit, they won't tell the truth to their congregation. I'm telling you, don't be stupid. Don't be stupid about a life of dissipation. The Bible said in Luke chapter 15, verse 13, that he took all of his living, went into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. He was stupid. He was stupid. He had a good home, good mom and daddy, roof over his head, cornbread and beans to eat every day. All he had to do was milk a few cows and plow a field or two. Good godly Jewish mom and dad, family, friends. What'd he do? He wanted to take what dad had worked a lifetime for and go down to the big city, and he spent it all in just a few weeks on riotous living and on harlots. Now, I don't know which one costs more money, liquor or women, but between the two of them, you ain't going to have no money very long. Amen. So he goes down and he takes a lifetime of work from his daddy, squanders it in a few short weeks, and finds himself absolutely destitute. You know why? Because a life of dissipation always leaves you broke. It always leaves you worse than it found you. It always takes away from you. It doesn't give. It doesn't bless. It doesn't enrich. It deprives. It takes away. All the things that you should have by the time you get up in your later years and ought to be settling down and looking forward to basking in the sunshine and enjoying the golden year, it's not there. You wasted it. You squandered it on a life of dissipation, having fun and going everywhere and doing everything with no thought for tomorrow and no thought about saving or putting away for tomorrow. Just live for today. I'm telling you, that's stupid. Don't be stupid in your relationship with God. The Bible said in Job chapter 2 and verse 9, curse God and die. That's Job's wife. Job's a godly man. Feared the Lord. Lived right. Didn't smoke, cuss, drink, or chew, and didn't run around with girls that do. Job was a good man, took care of his fellow man, took care of his children, was faithful to his wife. Said, how do you know he was faithful to his wife? You know what Job said one time? He said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I look upon a maid? He said, I got a wife. I ain't looking at nobody else. Amen. That's a man of character. That's a man of integrity. He was rich. He was famous. He was a man of renown. People came to him for counsel and for advice, and they followed his wisdom. Then one day, all hell broke loose, and his life got turned upside down. Anybody ever been there? Just wait a little while, it will. Everybody gets his day at time at being a Job. Your life ain't always going to be sweet and nice. It ain't always going to go like you want it. You say, boy, everything's good in my life, and this is, you know, I've got this and that, and things are sweet. Sooner or later, you'll get your shot. Job's got his shot. He's enjoyed the good. And now, he said, that which I greatly feared is come upon me. But he's hacking it. He ain't liking it. Boy, he is singing the blues. I mean, you know what? Job could do some whining. I take heart out of that. Amen? I mean, Job, man, when God started putting the licks on him, Job started screaming. I remember as a boy, my daddy gave us a whooping, and son, I could do the dance. Amen. My dad said, you better stand still, boy. Sure, son. I know I am. But Job's wife, he said, curse God. Nobody ever got any worse advice than that. Now, Job's in a fix and he don't like it. He's got choices. He can endure it, or he can curse God and die. Job's got a choice. Job made his choice. He made a decision. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Job wasn't stupid. You know what you got to do when life gives you a heartache and a broken heart? When it doesn't go like you want it? When it's not like you think it ought to be? When you think God has been so unfair and so unreasonable that when you think, what did I do to deserve this? I'm a good, independent, fundamental, premillennial, Bible-believing, King James only, Christ exalted, sin-hating Baptist. I pay my tithes. I go to church. But my soul, man, I go to King James Baptist Church. And if you can go down there, you can go anywhere. What's God doing this to me for? I don't know what He is doing to you, but you're getting less than you deserve. Well, if that's the way God's going to treat me, I'm just going to quit. Don't be stupid. Don't be stupid. The boat may be leaking, and it may be a little shaky, but it's better than being in the water with sharks. Just hang on. Help is on the way. God's not going to lose any of His children. God's going to get you to the other side.
Don't get mad. Don't get angry. Don't get bitter and throw in the towel and quit. Don't curse God. Don't be stupid. Just hang on, pray, hope, and wait. God will show up. It may be just in the nick of time, but that's all you need. It's the nick of time. Ooh. Number 8 or whatever it is. Don't be stupid about your respect, or more apropos, don't be stupid about your fear of man. In Mark chapter 15, verse 15, the Bible said this, "And Pilate, willing to content the people." Pilate looked out there and he saw Jesus, and he interrogated him, and he found no fault in him. But the people, the folks, wanted him crucified. So against his own judgment that Jesus Christ was righteous, contrary to the law of the land, contrary to common sense, Pilate condemned him. Why? Because he feared the people. The fear of man bringeth a snare. You know why so many people do the dumb things they do, and especially young people, teenagers and the like? You know why they do so much of what they do? A lot of it doesn't necessarily depend on what they like or the things that they would choose on their own. They get in a group mentality. That's what everybody else is doing. It's what everybody else likes. I want to be like them. And if I'm not, I'll be ostracized. I'll be an outsider. I won't have any friends. Everybody thinks I'm square. And so they sell out their convictions. They sell out what they've been taught all their life. They know what right and wrong is. They know what they ought to do and ought not to do. But because they fear the group, they call it peer pressure. That's all it is. You're afraid that you won't be accepted by that little group that you hang out with. Well, sweetheart, I'll tell you right now, sooner or later they're going to throw you out anyway. Amen? And by the way, it's not just young people. I know old people that are just as guilty. They can't be faithful to God. They can't go to church. They can't take a stand in public. They can't vote against issues that they ought to vote against. They can't take a stand where they ought to. Because if they do, somebody's going to think they're some kind of religious fanatic. They're going to think they're over the top. They're going to think that they're some kind of zealot. Well, I'd rather be thought a zealot and over the top than to have to run around with a crowd I didn't really agree with and didn't believe in that's going to shame me and humiliate me in the end anyway. So why would anybody do that? Fear of man. Wanting to make sure that everybody accepts. Now you know that's one of the sins right there, the thing I just talked about. That's something nobody ever admits to. But it happens all the time. Last but not least. Don't be stupid in dismissing God from your life. In Acts chapter 17, verse 31 through 34, the apostle preaches, and down at the end of his message, it said, some believed, and some mocked. And some said, we will hear thee again concerning this matter. Some mocked. They heard it. But they heard it preached plain and straight. They heard it preached with the power of the Holy Spirit. Those men were anointed by God and filled with the Holy Spirit. They preached with the power of God on their life. And some of those people heard it and they believed. Some of them heard it and they mocked. They just dismissed God. Stupid. The Bible said the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You could say it this way. The fool has said in his heart, no God. Not that there is no God, but I'm saying no to God. And when you reject Jesus Christ, when you dismiss the gospel, when you take your life in your own hands, lean to your own understanding, direct your own path, do it your own way, you have said no to, you have dismissed God from your life. That's stupid! Jesus was preaching one day and he preached a certain message and it was hard. Some of the people got up and said, "This is a hard saying. Who can take it?" You know, and they left. And Jesus turned to his disciples. He said, "Will ye also go away?" And they said, "Lord, where will we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Don't be stupid. Nobody can save you but Him. Don't be stupid. Nobody can give you peace and joy but Him. Don't be stupid. Nobody can give you purpose in life but Him. Don't be stupid. The best life, the most peaceful life, the most settled life, the most rewarding life, the most fulfilling life, and the most enduring life. I ran out of fingers there. It's found in Jesus Christ. Any other decision, stupid. Our premises this morning is, don't be stupid. God loves you. He loves you. He wants you to say, the Bible said God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He has made a way. But He won't twist your arm. He won't beat you over the head. He will not bribe you. You can't cut a deal. He's there. He's available. He's done all He's going to do. Then He left you a free will. And whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent, you have a right given by God to be stupid. You can look at all the right things and say no. It really is up to you. So I admonish you this morning, don't be stupid. Let's bow your head. We thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy. My soul, Lord, we confess.